AuthorityResearch.com. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Curse Upon America, by Dean Gotcher. When it comes to behavior, replacing discussion with dialogue, replacing the father's authority with the child's carnal nature, destroys the child and the nation. Dialogue, when used to define and establish behavior, that is when brought into the realm of discussion, where the father sets standards for behavior and has the final say, engenders disobedience and sin, that is not doing what you have been told, doing what you want, what you are lusting after, instead. God, the decider of what is right and what is wrong behavior in dialogue, which was the praxis of Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6. Kurt Lewin, the negative valence of a forbidden object which in itself attracts the child, in other words, the guilty conscience, thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, that is, if the adult goes away or loses his authority, the negative valence also disappears. Kurt Lewin, in his book A Dynamic Theory of Personality, when asked to be positive and not negative in a meeting, which requires you to reject, leave out, the father's authority, that does not bring up accountability to the father for one's thoughts and actions, thou shalt surely die. In your conversation with others, in order for everyone, including yourself, to do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust without being judged, condemned, or cast out, ye shalt not surely die. So everyone can do what they want, including yourself, without having a guilty conscience. Kurt Lewin explaining in one sentence how the guilty conscience is created, being told what is right and what is wrong behavior and being intolerant of compromise, holding you accountable for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, and in one sentence how the guilty conscience can be destroyed, that is replaced with the superego, the moral standards of society, which requires compromise, being tolerant of ambiguity, being tolerant of those who are doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, lusting, not insisting upon their doing right and not wrong according to what the Father says, not having to think and act according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth in order to initiate and or sustain relationship, that is, build relationship upon self-interest, upon lust, which is the benchmark of Marxism. Karl Marx, to enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. A message I sent to my children, with additions for clarification. It is so simple, this issue of discussion versus dialogue, using dialogue instead of discussion when it comes to behavior resulting in man justifying his sins. The liberal knows of it. It is the foundation of all his works. It is the foundation of the 600-plus social psychology books I read. It is what the serpent did to the woman in the garden in Eden, seducing her, deceiving her, and manipulating her into moving her communication from discussion, where the father has the final say to dialogue, where she had the final say when it came to behavior, making her flesh the foundation from which to reason instead of the word of God, doing her will instead of the father's, being cast out of the garden, losing her access to the tree of life, her inheritance because of her disobedience, with Adam following after her. To use it on your children is to damn their soul. To use it on a nation is to destroy the nation. And that is exactly what has happened. To this day, I have known of no one who has addressed what is happening to this nation as what was practiced in Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, where the master facilitator of change created an environment where the child could dialogue how she felt and what she thought when it came to behavior without fear of being judged, condemned, and cast out, with her justifying her carnal nature, establishing her lust for pleasure over and therefore against doing the Father's will. This nation is so drunk on the use of dialogue, I feel, that is, I like to, I don't like, and everything in between and beyond, when it comes to behavior because it makes everyone God, the decider of what is right and what is wrong behavior. I see its use even in the church. While some people might reject it, they tolerate it, not calling it sin. When I read Luther's works, not Table Talks, which is a piece of junk Luther himself would burn, but his actual sermons and notes, volumes of them at the University Reference Library where I did my research, he understood and condemned the use of dialogue when it came to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior, using dialogue when it comes to behavior being death to your soul. When my wife Karen brought home a senior paper to type up, who condemned psychology, I thought he was nuts. Now I know he was spot on. There is no such thing as a Christian psychologist. What harmony has Christ with what the serpent, the master psychotherapist, did with the woman in the Garden in Eden, with Adam following? That is what psychology is, damning to every soul that enters in. Its intended purpose, even when done in the name of the Lord, to condemn, it is not a cure. It is just a warning to not enter in, to not walk down that pathway, because that pathway leads to hell, to the lake of fire that is never quenched, prepared for the master psychotherapist, the master facilitator of change, and all who follow after him. We love it because it justifies our sinful nature. That is why it is so quickly embraced. The idea, "I'm not as bad as he is," blinds us to the truth that we are on the same pathway. It is not how far down the pathway you have gone. It is the pathway you are on. This pathway leads to eternal damnation, to eternal death, no matter where you are on it. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psychology is simply our heart being justified. The woman in the garden threw the master psychotherapist under the bus because he seduced, deceived, and manipulated her into doing what she wanted, into satisfying her heart's desire instead of doing what God the Father said. That is what psychology does. It is not in man to direct his steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In his book on becoming a person, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy, Carl Rogers wrote, "Prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, 'What would my parents want me to do?' During the process of therapy, the individual comes to ask himself, 'What does it mean to me?' Psychotherapy is simply moving communication from discussion, from 'What would my parents want me to do?' to dialogue, to 'What does it mean to me?' It is simply that which took place in a garden in Eden, where therapy replaced doing God the Father's will, as recorded in Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, the first therapy session. All teachers are certified and schools accredited today based upon their use of what are called Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in the classroom. Benjamin Bloom, in his second taxonomy, wrote, "Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children." David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain. They are patterned after Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, replacing discussion, what the father says, where the father has the final say, with dialogue, how the student feels, where the student has the final say, it is death to the student's soul and death to a nation, with the student from then on saying, "You can't tell me what I can or can't say or do. I'll report you if you do." Introduction. New world order is based upon your natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, while the old world order is based upon your doing right and not wrong according to what you have been told. It is the difference between discussion, doing the Father's will, doing what you are told, and dialogue, doing your will, thinking and behaving according to how you feel in the moment, that the world is stimulating. That is the difference between righteousness and sensuousness. When the conservative, including the church, does not make righteousness, that is doing the Father's will, that is discussion, with the Father having the final say, the issue of life, its means of communication when it comes to behavior, but instead makes sensuousness, the people's carnal feelings, that is dialogue. Where the child has the final say, America reaps what it sows, death to the soul and death to the nation. No foreign nation has to invade America to destroy it. It destroys itself. When you are more concerned about your children's social life than where they will spend eternity, then you are a socialist. You might deny it, but you cannot refute it. You have established dialogue, your child's carnal nature, doing what he or she wants, doing what all children have in common, lusting after pleasure and hating restraint, making them all gods, becoming God as they unite as one through the consensus process, establishing him or her over and therefore against discussion, the father's authority, doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, doing what he or she is told, making him or her an individual under God or under some authority, father figure. The following is an explanation of the difference between discussion and dialogue, which are two different political systems. When it comes to behavior, that is knowing right from wrong, which one you use directly affects your life and the life of a nation. While in discussion you can be lost, trusting in yourself or in a man instead of the Lord, without it you cannot hear from God. That is, receive and accept what God says. Discussion requires faith. Dialogue, on the other hand, is based upon sight, that is, your feelings. It is impossible to hear from God and be pleasing to God without faith, without discussion, where God has the final say. In dialogue, your feelings, your lust for pleasure, which the world stimulates, your what can I get out of this for me, always gets in the way. While you might not know the difference between discussion and dialogue, those who are of and for the world do and are doing all they can to seduce you, your spouse, your children, your friends, your teachers, your leaders into using dialogue when it comes to behavior in order to use you and all the Lord has given you for their own pleasure and gain, some even doing it in the name of the Lord, calling themselves facilitators of change. James 4 verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Jeremiah 17 verses 5 and 7. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and mocketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Having read over 600 social psychology books, given over 5,000 lectures, even to federal judges, taught in a university upon how America is being destroyed, the following is an exposé on how it is being done, exposing it with the Word of God, hearing from liberal professors in front of their students when I lectured them, we cannot refute a word you have said. I am a researcher, not an activist, or a writer, as you can see. It has been very disappointing to share this information with those who could make a difference, with them not responding. I have even been invited out to lunch with heads of major ministries to share this information with them over a meal, with them sitting sideways in their chairs not looking at me, sort of in-your-face rejection, their ministries either using the process or they're seeing their lose of support if they responded. The most painful experiences I had in one meeting, halfway through it was all I could do not to walk out, was sharing this information before Christians, who when I quoted these men were attentive but the moment I shared the scriptures they went to sleep on me. Oh, we've heard those verses before. What's new? I even had meetings canceled after I was asked by my hosts not to share the gospel and I refused, who were Christians, because I offended their financial support with the gospel. I've had ministers pacing the back of the room trying to figure out how they could shut the PA off without people noticing. This is the state of the American church. We want to hear the truth, but not that much truth, where it will cost us. You will never go deeper into the Word of God than where your desire for the approval of men will allow you. With God, it is an either-or thing. With man, it's, I'm not as bad as him. It is not how far down the path you have gone. It is the path you are on. When it comes to behavior, the moment you stepped on the dialogue path, you were on the broad path that leads to destruction. Proverbs 1 verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 16 verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. 1 John 2 verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Why start with this verse? What does 1 John 2 verse 16, or even Proverbs 3 verse 5, have to do with the issue of discussion and dialogue? Everything. Which one you submit to or use when it comes to behavior, discussion, or dialogue determines whether you are subject to the Father's authority, doing the Father's will, or subject to your carnal nature, lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, hating restraint. Discussion is of the Father, doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, with the Father having the final say. Dialogue is of the child's carnal nature, lusting after pleasure and hating restraint, with the child having the final say. While we have both, they are antithetical to one another when it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior. When you make dialogue your means to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior, you make your carnal nature the standard, requiring you to either convert anyone using discussion when it comes to defining or establishing behavior, since anyone insisting upon discussion, insisting upon everyone doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, insisting upon everyone doing the Father's will inhibits or blocks dialogue, or silence them, or if necessary censor them, and if they persist, removing them from the environment. When it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior, most preachers of the Word of God do not realize the effect dialogue is having on those in fellowship, in their daily lives with their neighbors, in the classroom, at work, at all, even in the fellowship. As it was put into praxis in the Garden in Eden, it is a subtle change with major ramifications. As was done in the Garden in Eden, when it comes to establishing right and wrong behavior, when you leave the Father out what you have been told, all you have is the carnal nature of the child justifying his self, in that case herself, with Adam following. Doing what the Father says, if there are any questions, requires discussion, with the Father having the final say. The child doing his will is based upon dialogue, justifying his self, justifying his lusts. It is a universal with us when it comes to behavior, either walking by faith or walking by sight, walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh, establishing behavior upon what the Father says or upon how we feel and what we think. It is one or the other. When education, from the federal level down to the local classroom, made curriculum subject to dialogue, that is to the child's carnal nature instead of subject to the Father, where if there are any questions the Father has the final say, it rejected God, cursing this nation. What you sow, you reap. It is as simple as that. Americans cannot see it because dialogue is such a big part of their life, doing what they want, even in the name of the Lord. The church is to blame, making the word of God subject to dialogue, subject to the opinions of men in order to grow the church. That is, in order to grow their prestige amongst men and their financial support. When it comes to sin, you do not have to do what you are dialoguing with yourself about for it to be sin. Just thinking about it, meditating upon it, role-playing it in your mind is sin. Genesis 6 verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." When dialogue becomes the means to establishing what is right and what is wrong behavior, sin becomes the law of the land. Matthew 24 verse 38, "For as in the days that were before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." We then know what time it is. Luke 17 verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." For those of and for the world, even those in sheepskin, when it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior, dialogue and the consensus process is the only way they can have peace and affirmation, that is worldly peace and socialist harmony. Peace to those of and for the world means being able to do wrong, disobey, sin, to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating without having a guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders. Affirmation means that those who judge, condemn, and cast people out for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, who insist everyone do the Father's will, who insist everyone do what they are told, are silenced, censored, and or removed from the environment in order, as in new world order, for everyone, that is for them to become at one with their self, that is become at one with their carnal nature and the world that stimulates it, approving or affirming one another's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint. Those of and for the new world order, socialists, communists, globalists, facilitators of change, Marxists, psychotherapists, at all being the same in structure of thought, rejecting being told what is right and what is wrong behavior, rejecting discussion, rejecting the Father's authority, use dialogue in order to liberate themselves and the people, the group, their victims from the Father's authority system, in order for the people, the group, their victims to follow after, serve, promote, defend, protect, praise, and worship them for justifying their carnal nature, making them God in their eyes. When you make behavior subject to dialogue, to your carnal nature instead of subject to discussion, to the Father's authority, you have chosen a political system that is antithetical to the Father's authority, that is hostile toward righteousness, making you an enemy of God. The wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience, that is upon a nation that makes behavior subject to the child's carnal nature, subject to the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, subject to dialogue, where the child has the final say instead of subject to the Father's authority, to discussion, to doing right and not wrong according to what you have been told, where the Father has the final say. While the earthly father can be wrong, it is the paradigm, the way you are feeling, thinking, and acting toward yourself, others, the world, and authority, toward the patriarchal paradigm that dialogue, when it is used to define and establish behavior, negates, removes from the mind of the child and thus from his actions, thus from the environment, that is of issue here. When you change communication from discussion to dialogue, when it comes to behavior, the father's authority is negated in the mind of the child, making the child a child of disobedience, damning his soul, cursing a nation. Ephesians 2 verses 2 and 3, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Colossians 3 verses 5 to 10, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Romans 8 verses 12 to 15, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The old man, as a child of disobedience, lives to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, lives for the sensation of dopamine emancipation, hating the father who restrains him, who gets him off the drug that the drug pushers push, that is his lust for pleasure, wherewith they are able to buy and sell his soul, using him for their own carnal gain. Inheritance is not based upon what the children have, but upon what the father has, giving it to those children who obey him. But wanting to lust with impunity, living for the eternal present, not caring what tomorrow brings, those of and for the world reject the father, their inheritance giving it up for the lust of the moment that the world stimulates. All who reject the father's authority live with the motto, "What can I get out of this for me?" in the here and now. This requires the father who tells his children what they can and cannot do to either hang himself, or when it comes to behavior go into dialogue with them, abdicating his office of authority instead. Heraclitus: every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys. Karl Marx, who rejected the father's authority, built his ideology off of Heraclitus, who rejected the father's authority. The Apostle Paul was exposing and condemning the ideology of Heraclitus, the ideology that now permeates America, the ideology that makes the child's carnal nature, man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint the foundation from which to define and establish behavior, replacing discussion, what the father says with dialogue, how the child feels and what he thinks when it comes to behavior. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Jeremiah 6 verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Proverbs 4 verse 1, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Proverbs 15 verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The agenda of those who are of and for the world can best be summed up in Wilford Bion's statement: prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. With knows being printed in caps. Wilford Bion, A Memoir of the Future, The Empty Space, is your conversation with yourself on how to respond to the current situation. Discussion fills it with what the father says. Dialogue fills it with what you want to do. Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. When your parents told you to do something you did not want to do, or told you you could not do something you wanted to do, your natural inclination was to ask. Actually tell them why. Whether you knew it or not, your why was a political system. It was based upon your feelings and thoughts of the moment, which were being stimulated by the world. That political system is based upon dialogue, upon I feel and I think, making your carnal feelings, known as the affective domain, the medium through which you established what was right and what was wrong, behavior, pleasure or lust being right, anyone getting it its way being wrong. Your parents' political system, whether they were right or wrong, was different. It was based upon doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, with them preaching and teaching them to you, holding you accountable to them, and discussing them with you if you had any questions, were they refusing to go into dialogue with you, which would make them equal with you and you equal with them, since everyone is equal, that is, entitled to their opinion in dialogue, maintain their position of authority by saying, because I said so, with them having the final say. In short, discussion is of the father's authority, where the father has the final say. Dialogue is of your carnal nature and the world that stimulates it, with you have the final say. It is God who created man to have discussion with him when it comes to behavior, with him having the final say, and man to dialogue with one another when it comes to what God says he can do or have. It was the master facilitator of change's agenda who made his first appearance in a garden in Eden to help man dialogue with himself and with others when it came to behavior, with man having the final say, thus liberating man from God's authority, from discussion. From having to do what God the Father says, making himself God, the decider of right and wrong behavior instead, making him subject only to his flesh and the world that stimulates it. Authority is composed of two things, the authoring of commands, rules, facts, and truth to be obeyed or applied and the enforcement of them. Authority is an either-or, right-wrong, above-below, etc., way of thinking where you are either right or you are wrong. There is no in-between, no compromise, no tolerance of ambiguity. It is not that dialogue is bad in and of itself. You can dialogue when it comes to what you have been told you can do. But when you have been told what you cannot do and you dialogue, it becomes wrong, engendering disobedience and sin. I like to put it this way: in discussion, God is God. In dialogue, you are God. Dialogue makes you subject to stimulus response, to approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, to that which is of the world, with the missing out on pleasure in your mind being pain. Discussion makes you subject to the Father's authority, to doing what you have been told. God hates sin. Man hates anyone who gets in the way of his sin. In man's mind, sin is not sin but simply human nature. Man being himself. Boys will be boys. By man making sin normal, which dialogue does he becomes God, the establisher of right and wrong behavior. Discussion, where God is God, and dialogue, where you are God, are therefore in conflict. When it comes to behavior, which one you use reveals your paradigm, your way of feeling, thinking, and behaving toward yourself, others, the world, and authority. Dopamine, a chemical our body naturally produces, called a neurotransmitter, makes us aware of something in the environment that is pleasurable. Lust for pleasure, for dopamine, is the drive of dialogue. Lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint goes hand in hand with dialogue. When we make pleasure, called the affective domain, our focus of attention, our purpose in life, it becomes our agenda to change or augment the environment in order to have more of it, which requires the removal of anyone who gets in the way. Since the father, discussion is not subject to the child, to dialogue, but rather the child, dialogue is subject to the father, discussion, in order for the child, dialogue, to become free from the restraint of the father, discussion, the father, discussion, when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the environment. It is only then that the child, that is dialogue, can have his way, with everyone enjoy whatever in the environment is stimulating dopamine. Without the father, discussion getting in the way. This is important to grasp, since it is the agenda of the so-called New World Order. Whoever controls our means of communication controls the outcome. Anyone who has been in a consensus, be positive not negative meeting will understand the significance of this explanation. When it comes to behavior, with the father, discussion, that is restraint, being negative, and the child, dialogue, that is lust for pleasure, being positive. Since discussion is not subject to dialogue, since the father is not subject to the child, but rather dialogue is subject to discussion, that is the child is subject to the father, in order for dialogue to become free from the restraint of discussion, in order for the child to be free from the father's authority. Discussion when it comes to behavior, the father when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the environment. It is only then that dialogue. The child can have his way, with everyone enjoying whatever in the environment is stimulated. Dopamine, without discussion, the father getting in the way. From the Garden in Eden to Judgment Day, the conflict has been the same, the child either being subject to discussion, doing what the father says, or subject to dialogue, doing what he wants without restraint. Dopamine, the drug of choice for the child, even when the child is in an adult body. While our earthly father, like the heavenly father, tells us what is right and what is wrong behavior, holding us accountable to what we have been told, he, unlike the heavenly father who is spirit, he is susceptible to the flesh, to the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, to that which is of the world, making him subject to stimulus response, that is dialogue. The more he turns to dialogue when it comes to behavior, the more he uses the office of authority he serves in to satisfy his own lusts. This is true for any politician, corporate leader, educator, judge, etc., even minister. The key to understanding the difference between discussion and dialogue, in order to prevent confusion when you deal with the physical and biological universe, that is the laws of nature which are established by God, they will prove your dialogue, your opinion or theory true or false, but when you use the same method, dialogue, to define and establish right and wrong behavior for man, all you will end up with is the child's, that is your propensity to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, making lust right and the father's authority wrong, making you an enemy of God. In Romans, the 7th chapter, we read, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." James 1 verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God's law is perfect, revealing to us that we are not. Due to our flesh, we are subject to the law of sin. Romans 7 verses 14 to 25, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Our body or our flesh is always subject to approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, making it subject to that which is of the world. Our body naturally produces a chemical known as dopamine, which is associated with pleasure. When we come into contact with something in the environment that is pleasurable, dopamine is emancipated or liberated. Those are the words that are used, into a small gap between the nerves called a synaptic gap. When any of our senses, touch, taste, sight, smell, or sound associated with pleasure come into contact with something in the environment that is pleasurable, they send that information to the brain. At the end of the first nerve, dopamine is emancipated into the synaptic gap. When it reaches the receptor of the next nerve, that nerve continues to send that information on to the brain that something in the environment is pleasurable. In the brain, there are many nerves called dendrites. Some are dedicated to emancipating dopamine, making us aware that something in the environment is pleasurable. We then look into the environment to find out what it is that stimulated dopamine in our brain and where it came from. When we locate it, our nature is to gain control of it, to attend to it mentally and move toward it physically, so we can experience more sensation of dopamine, that is, experience more pleasure in the future as we experience it now. For example, when at school the bell rang for recess, you could feel the sensation of dopamine being emancipated. Our mental attending to it mentally, thinking on it, is as muscle memory, anticipating the sensation which comes with its emancipation in the future, justifying its apprehension in the present. Attending to it mentally and thinking upon how to apprehend it physically increases the sensation of pleasure, making our reasoning subject to lust when it is something we have been told we cannot have or do. It only becomes labeled as lust or sin when we have been told not or no. Romans 7 verse 7, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 3 verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Unless restrained physically and mentally by fear of judgment or being punished, which would be equivalent to being detoxed, you will remain under the control of stimulus response, with lust for pleasure, dopamine, and hatred toward restraint controlling your thoughts, directly affecting your actions. The greater the sensation of dopamine becomes, as well as the longer it is focused upon, the greater the resentment toward restraint becomes. Resentment can come to the boiling point, that is, become critical, that is, become hate, especially if there is fear of the object that stimulates dopamine being taken away. Resentment or hatred toward restraint goes hand in hand with the child's lusting after pleasure. One follows the other. This is the condition of the unregenerate heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our unregenerate heart, thinking pleasure is the standard for good, instead of doing the Father's will, hates anyone preventing it from enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment that it is lusting after or threatening to take it away, why it becomes desperate. The unregenerate heart, the Karl Marx in you, cannot see its hatred toward the Father's authority as being evil, that is wicked, that is desperately wicked, because its lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the hate. Mark 7 verses 21 to 23. Karl Marx, rejecting the Father's authority, thus justifying his unregenerate heart, made his lust for pleasure sin the norm, where dialogue, what he called critical criticism, takes us when it has not restrained, that is, when we refuse to carry on a discussion which comes from the Father's authority, with the Father having the final say. Karl Marx, not feeling at home in the sinful world, critical criticism must set up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic lord, pure spontaneity, actus purus, intolerant of any influence from without. Karl Marx, the Holy Family. It is in dialogue, as Karl Marx put it, we set up a sinful world in our own home, making us intolerant of any authority telling us what we can and cannot do. The theme for dialectic reasoning is lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint. You can't tell me what I can and cannot do. Marx's logic is, since all are immoral, speaking of himself, making himself the norm, no one has the right to fire him or not hire him for being immoral, which describes the classroom, the workplace, and government today. Therefore, discussion, where the Father has the final say, must be removed from the environment, from the home, from education, from the workplace, from government, and even from the church, and replaced with dialogue, where everyone has the final say. In his article Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, Marx explained what he meant by criticism. Criticism is now simply a means. Indignation is its essential pathos, denunciation its principal task. Criticism is criticism in hand-to-hand combat. Criticism proceeds on to praxis, or social action void of, in fact hostile toward, godly restraint. The critique of religion, that is, hatred toward the Father's authority, ends with the categorical imperative to overthrow all conditions in which man is a debased, enslaved, neglected, contemptible being, that is, man being called a sinner, thus being judged, condemned, cast out for his carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Even George Washington understood the condition of the human heart. In his farewell address, he commented that despotism predominates in the human heart. George Washington, farewell address, he warned us, if, in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation, by those in one branch of government over another. For though this, in one instance, may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. What most Americans today do not realize is that, unlike the French Revolution, our framing fathers did not negate the king. They simply made the father in the home king. Thus, the Bill of Rights were established in order to protect him from governmental encroachment. It was his duty to train up his children, the next generation of citizens, to do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, having a guilty conscience when they did wrong, disobeyed, sinned. Destroy the father's authority in the home and you destroy the nation. Destroy the father's authority in the heart of man and you destroy his soul. God created us with dopamine that we would enjoy his creation, not that we would worship it instead of him. Cookies stimulate dopamine in us. Nothing wrong with that unless you have been told you cannot have them and you continue to look at them, thinking about having one, then it becomes lust. If you act upon it, take one, it is called disobedience, with God calling it sin. That is the power of dopamine in us. If we don't control our impulses and urges of the moment, our impulses and urges of the moment will control us. James 1 verses 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Romans 6 verse 16, know ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Luke 9 verses 23 to 26, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged, if he gain the whole world, and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. The message is, 1. Deny your lust for dopamine. 2. Endure the rejection of others for not affirming their lust for dopamine. And 3. Follow the Lord, doing the Father's will, letting the Father have the final say. All habitual drugs are associated with dopamine. Some stimulate its emancipation, others imitate it, and others prevent its reuptake or prevent it from being broken down in the synaptic gap in order to be reused again, recycled. As mentioned before, when you yield to the pleasure of dopamine instead of doing the Father's will, it is called lust, leading to sin when you act on it. The lust of the flesh is your yielding to the sensation of dopamine instead of doing the Father's will. The lust of the eyes is your looking into the environment for, or even thinking about or imagining, that which stimulates dopamine that is not to be looked upon or is not yours to have. And the pride of life is your controlling the environment and or the object, people, or person in the environment that stimulates dopamine in order for you to experience more dopamine in the future, which even comes with the praises of men, jealous you have more dopamine than them. Money, for example, when it is made subject to pleasure, becomes stored up drug money. This is the basis of your sense experience, your natural inclination to lust after pleasure and to hate restraint. That is your hating to miss out what it is that stimulates dopamine. The child is not in love with the toy. He is in love with the sensation of pleasure, the dopamine being emancipated that the toy is stimulating. As the preacher said, vanity, vanities, all is vanity. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, when we do not do the Father's will, our lust for pleasure. For dopamine is more than likely the cause. There is nothing wrong with cookies, for example, until you eat them when you are not supposed to. Almost all arguments are around man's lust for dopamine. The only reason man is depressed is God is not doing it his way, That is, God is not feeding his lust for the emancipation of dopamine. For example, while the old marriage vow went for better and for worse, until death do us part, the new vow, though not spoken, includes, or until someone better comes along, where dopamine, instead of right-wrong, becomes the foundation of thought. That is the power of dopamine, along with other drugs and hormones our body naturally produces, adrenaline, endorphin, testosterone, estrogen, etc., all associated with stimulus response, that which is of the world instead of being told, that which is of the Father. James 4 verses 1 to 3, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. While the heavenly Father, being not of the flesh, is not subject to dopamine, we, being of the flesh, are having to choose between either denying ourself, that is, not yielding to our natural inclination to lust after dopamine, doing his will, or feeding our lust for dopamine, doing our will instead. This is where the difference between spirit and flesh, discussion and dialogue come in. Spirit, not as man calls spirit, such as team spirit, which is tied to dopamine, is that which is external to us, that does not in and of itself stimulate dopamine in us. Spirit is thus doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, from now on referred to as being told, and is not subject to the flesh, to stimulus response. It is known as objective truth, being told, which requires faith. Flesh, on the other hand, is always subject to dopamine, making it subject to the world that stimulates it, and anybody manipulating the environment, engendering subjective truth. What is the right thing to do according to what I have been told, is replaced with, what can I get out of this situation and or object, people, or person for myself? No matter the age, which one you use, discussion, where you reason from what you have been told, or dialogue, where you reason from your feelings of the moment. When it comes to behavior determines your political system, whether you are conservative, holding to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, or liberal, ever subject to change. Have you heard the word change recently? God is going to judge a world, starting with the church, that refuses his authority, that refuses to obey his word, that refuses to do what he says, that refuses to do what it is told, but depends upon dialogue, how it feels and what it thinks in the moment in order to know right from wrong when it comes to behavior, resulting in children, even those in adult bodies, thinking they own whatever they see, lusting after that which is not theirs, like two children did in a garden in Eden, who used dialogue so they could do what they wanted instead of doing what the Father said. Yes, there is nothing new under the sun. The new age is as new as what happened in the garden in Eden. This is why facilitators of change, who are in the know, worship the master facilitator of change, who made his first appearance in a garden in Eden, liberating two children from the Father's authority, so they could do whatever they wanted without someone telling them what they could and could not do. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The Lord Jesus Christ himself stated he could do nothing apart from the Father. John 5 verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 12 verses 47 to 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He expects the same from us. Matthew 12 verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 7 verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 23 verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 4 verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, where God tells us what we can and cannot do, having the final say. The gospel message is all about the Father's authority, with the Son, by shedding his blood on the cross in obedience to the Father, redeeming us from the Father's wrath upon us for our sins, for our thinking and acting like we are God, with the Father raising him from the grave, reconciling us to himself, with us, by his grace and our faith in him, inheriting eternal life instead of inheriting eternal death for acting like we are God, for being a fraud. The gospel message is all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, not going into dialogue to justify his self, but doing what he was told, Matthew 26 verse 42, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Asking all to follow him, doing the Father's will as well, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Luke 16 verse 15, And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men, making pleasures, which includes the praises of men, the drive of life and its augmentation, the purpose, is abomination in the sight of God. Galatians 1 verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Discussion deals with man's soul, which knows from being told, with the Father having the final say. This is why you preach the word of God, which is foolishness to those of the world, to those who live in the world of dialogue, where they are God. Dialogue is of the flesh, which is stimulated by the world, using it to justify himself, his lusts, dying in his sins, with God having the final say. Regarding where he will spend eternity, he will face the wrath of God for using dialogue when it came to behavior, for making himself God instead of coming to God himself for direction. In dialogue you reason from your flesh. In discussion you reason from what you have been told. Discussion will not save you, but without it you cannot hear from the Father and repent. Hebrews 12 verses 5-11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. While the heavenly Father is holy and the earthly Father is born into sin, both have the same authority system, preaching commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaching facts and truth to be accepted as is, at first at least by faith, and applied, discussing with those under his authority any questions they might have regarding his commands, rules, facts, and truth, providing he deems it necessary, has time, those under his authority are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking his authority, 2. Rewarding those who do right and obey, 3. Correcting and or chastening those who do wrong and or disobey, that they might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate their self, in order to do right and not wrong according to the established commands, rules, facts, and truth they have been taught or have been told. That is, in order to do the Father's will, and 4. Casting out, expels, or grounds. Those who question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack his authority, which retains the Father's authority system in the child's or man's thoughts, directing, affecting his actions, resulting in the those under the Father's authority knowing right from wrong from being told, especially when it comes to behavior. When God created man, he did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He made him a living soul. Genesis 2 verse 7, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He then did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He told him what was right and what was wrong behavior and the consequence for disobedience. Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Only man can be told or tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior. Only man can read or write a book. All the rest of the creation is based upon stimulus response. For living organisms, approach pleasure and avoid pain. Dialogue is the spectrum of like to dislike, with everything in between and beyond, with change being subject to what you like or do not like at any given moment in time, correlated to the degree of resentment you have toward restraint that gets in the way of what you like or you are currently lusting after. While discussion is right wrong, either or, either obey, do the Father's will, do what you are told, or disobey, do your will instead, do what you feel like doing while still having a guilty conscience for disobeying, fearing being judged, condemned, and cast out. When dialogue is used to establish behavior, in the realm of restraint, where children are told what they can and cannot do, rebellion, anarchy, and revolution is engendered, with children of disobedience, lusting after pleasure removing anyone who gets in their way, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, and the righteous without having a guilty conscience. It is what happened in the classroom when, in the 50s and 60s dialogue, the effective domain, how the students felt and what they thought, became the curriculum, with students doing what they felt like doing, replacing the teaching of 2 plus 2 equals 4 and cannot be any other number, where students did what they were told. It is not that teachers did not care about their students' feelings. Some did not. It is they knew the importance of their students learning to obey commands and follow rules, learning facts and seeking after truth in order to do right and not wrong and know right from wrong in the future. When the preaching, teaching, and discussing of established commands, rules, facts, and truth, with the father having the final say, is the thesis, then the child's carnal nature is under restraint, having to do what he is told, having a guilty conscience when he disobeys, preventing or inhibiting change, at least rapid change. When you make the child's carnal nature, that is dialogue, the thesis, the means of communication when it comes to behavior, the father's authority becomes the antithesis. This then requires that the father's authority be removed from the environment in order, as in New World Order, for the child to become at one with his self, his carnal nature, making it possible for him to become at one with all the children of the world, thinking and acting according to what he and they have in common, their lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, engendering synthesis, Marxism, communism, globalism, restoring the Tower of Babel through what is called the consensus process, where feelings, that is the superego, supersedes, negates the conscience. In the consensus process, freedom from the conscience, that is freedom to lust without having a guilty conscience, replaces freedom of the conscience, that is individualism under God, replacing the person being an individual in a group with the group being in the individual. It is what change, the change process, is all about. Children, including those in adult bodies, thinking and acting according to stimulus response, fearing man, which deals with their flesh, instead of doing what you are told, fearing God, which deals with their soul. Dialogue, what can I get out of this for me, is antithetical to discussion, what would my father want me to do and or say? In dialogue, change is based upon stimulus response, approaching the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, hating and removing that which gets in the way. In discussion, change is by persuasion, making change a mental effort, not quickly or easily accomplished, whereas in dialogue, change is subject to the impulses and urges of the moment, making change easy in the light of the current situation. Luke 11 verse 35, "Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness." Enlightenment is darkness to the soul. The ideas of the Enlightenment taught man that he could trust his own reason as a guide to establishing valid ethical norms, and that he could rely on himself, needing neither revelation nor that authority of the church in order to know good and evil. Stephen Eric Bronner of Critical Theory and its Theorists. When it comes to behavior, if discussion is being used in the classroom, you are in a traditional classroom, establishing the father's authority over the child's carnal nature. If dialogue is being used, you are in a Marxist classroom, establishing the child's carnal nature, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that is of the world, over and therefore against the father and his authority. Bohm and Pete. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. Bohm and Pete, science, order, and creativity. Discussion divides between those doing right and those doing wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth. Knowing right from wrong from being told, which is formal, judgmental, either or, where the father has the final say, because I said so, nevertheless, it is written. Majority vote retains the father's authority system, although the person might lose on the particular issue, where doing or being right and not wrong according to a fixed position is the issue at hand. In discussion, doing wrong according to what you have been told engenders a guilty conscience, along with judgment, condemnation, and being cast out if you, when you do wrong, do not repent and do what is right, do what you are told. With man, since man is not always right, using the office of discussion to force everyone into doing what he is dialoguing with himself about this is a problem, despotism. With God, since God is always right, this is not. Bohem and Pete. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning. Bohm and Pete, science, order, and creativity. Dialogue divides between those who insist upon discussion, upon doing the Father's will, and those who base behavior upon their own carnal nature, uniting upon the latter, upon feelings, upon what they have in common with I feel and or I think being their means of communication, which is an opinion, informal, non-judgmental, where the child, retaining his carnal nature, has the final say. There is no father's authority, I know, in dialogue or in an opinion or in the consensus process. There is only the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint being expressed and justified. Dialogue moves opinions to a consensus, negating the father's authority and the guilty conscience it engenders in the process. Dialogue is motto of the French Revolution, liberté from the father's authority. Since there is no father's authority in dialogue, égalité, since all are entitled to their opinion, and fraternité, since the outcome is consensus, where everyone's feelings are in harmony. Friedrich Engels. In the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. Friedrich Engels explaining Marxism. Unlike discussion, there are no absolutes in dialogue. All educators are certified and schools accredited today, including Christian, based upon their use of what are called Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in the classroom. The preaching, teaching, and discussing of established commands, rules, facts, and truth, with the teacher having the final say, known as old school, is now replaced with the students dialoguing their opinions to a consensus process, making their feelings of the moment the foundation from which to reason, not establish commands, rules, facts, and truth, not what the teacher or parent or God says, not what they are told. Benjamin Bloom. We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative, and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all time and places. Benjamin Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain. Dialogue is the means by which absolutes are replaced with changingness, replacing the father's authority with the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure that the world stimulates. It is the meaning of tolerance of ambiguity. Since the Son of God, Jesus Christ, obeyed the Father in all things commanded, demanding you do the same, when you through dialogue build relationship with others, you have to suspend the Lord upon a cross. While you might deny that that is what you are doing, you cannot refute it. That is what you are doing. Silence is consent. While you might, in your mind, plan to share the Lord later on with them, in your effort to initiate or sustain relationship with them, your silence justifies in their mind that they are all right, that relationship with them is more important to you than the Word of God. Again, it is the difference between discussion, fellowshipping around the Word of God, and dialogue, building relationship with one another upon common self-interests, that which stimulates dopamine. Proverbs 3 verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I feel and I think, when it comes to behavior, excludes the father in deciding what is right and what is wrong behavior. Proverbs 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I feel and I think, which are subject to the world, subject to stimulus response, make dialogue, what seems to be the means of communication from which to establish right and wrong behavior. Carl Rogers, the words seem to are significant. It is the perception which functions in guiding behavior. Like so-called science, when dialogue is used to develop the issue of discussion, discussion becomes so-called discussion or seems to be discussion, making the person's carnal feelings and his or her carnal thoughts facts to be obeyed without question, where liberals tend to go, forcing everyone to follow after them without question, deceiving the innocent and the naive. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Matthew 6 verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Romans 6 verse 16, "Know ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" Carl Rogers, "Experience is, for me, the highest authority. Neither the Bible nor the prophets, neither the revelations of God can take precedence over my own direct experience." Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy. This is the sum total of dialectic reasoning, psychotherapy, the wisdom of men, resulting in man denying the Father's authority, doing what he wants without having a guilty conscience, becoming at one with his self and the world that stimulates pleasure, dying in his sins. The flesh is subject to stimulus response, to the impulses and urges of the moment that the world is stimulating. The soul is subject to being told to God who created it. Those of and for the world turn to dialogue, to stimulus response, to what seems to be science when it comes to behavior. Karl Marx, "Science is only genuine science when it proceeds from sense experience, in the two forms of sense perception and sensuous need, that is, only when it proceeds from nature." Karl Marx, Mega I/3. Karl Marx simply secularized the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that which is of the world, making lust a part of human nature, to be accepted as the norm. When you make your behavior subject to stimulus response, to science, as in behavior science, the only outcome you can have is what all men have in common, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, only that which is of the world. Behavior science makes man subject to his carnal nature and the world that stimulates it. That is all it can do, in the process negating faith in God, that is the Father's authority. 1 Timothy 6 verses 20 to 21, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." Oppositions of science falsely so called is the use of dialogue when the facts are known, making science what is known ever subject to change. For those of and for the world, everything must be subject to change, or they become subject to the Father's authority, making them subject to being judged, condemned, and cast out for their carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Therefore, they make behavior subject to the child's, that is, to their carnal nature, rather than the subject to the Father and his established commands, rules, facts, and truth. Theodore Adorno. A tendency to transmit mainly a set of conventional rules and customs may be considered as interfering with the development of a clear-cut personal identity in the growing child. Theodore Adorno, The Authoritarian Personality. A group of Marxists known as the Frankfurt School, fleeing fascist Germany, came to America in the early 30s. Entering our universities, they trained up professors, corporate leaders, educational experts, and developed institutions and organizations whose sole purpose was to change America. Their agenda was to negate the earthly father's authority in the home, thereby negating the heavenly father's authority in the minds of men. Their approach was unique in that they incorporated psychology as a major tool in the advancement of Marxism, making education, the workplace, government, and even the church subject to psychology, subject to men's feelings, that is, subject to the world instead of subject to the Word of God, that is, subject to what the Father says. Martin J. As the Frankfurt School wrestled with how to reinvigorate Marx, they found the missing link in Freud. Martin J., The Dialectical Imagination, A History of the Frankfurt School and the Institute of Social Research, 1923-1950. Georgi Lukacs, the founder of the Frankfurt School, officially known as the Institute of Social Research, wrote, "The central problem is to change reality. Reality with its obedience to laws." Georgi Lukacs, History and Class Consciousness. What is Orthodox Marxism? Georgi Lukacs was simply saying since reality resides in the child's carnal nature, in the law of the flesh and not in the father's authority, when it comes to behavior dialogue, how the child feels and what he thinks must replace discussion, doing what the father says, negating the child having to do the father's will. Class consciousness is the class of students, mankind, the people. The Lord came for whosoever, not for the group. He turned down the world, the group, when the master facilitator of change offered it to him. Recognizing what they have in common, their lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, their hatred toward obedience to laws, their lust for pleasure making them, in their mind, equal with the Father, justifying their establishing their carnal nature, their lust for pleasure, their why, over and therefore against the Father and his authority, rule of law, since they cannot be equal. The Father would not allow it. By the Father going into dialogue with the children, when it comes to behavior he abdicates, that is, negates the office of authority he occupies. The very act negates it. It is either the one above or the many below with the class, the people justifying their self, their lusts becoming at one with one another according to their carnal nature, united in overthrowing the Father and his authority. While Marx set out to destroy the Father's authority in society, Freud set out to destroy it in the minds of men. Both denied the Father, the giver of the law, and the Son, who redeemed man from the Father's judgment upon him for breaking the law. If you deny the Father, you deny the law, therefore you deny the Son, who, by obeying the law, redeemed man from the Father's wrath against for breaking the law. 1 John 2 verse 22, "He is Antichrist, that deneath the Father and the Son." While you might acknowledge the Son, if you deny the Father, you deny the Son. John 10 verse 30, "I and my Father are one." John 17 verses 21-23, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Fellowship is with the Father and his Son, who have the final say. 1 John 1 verse 3, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." 1 John 2 verse 18, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."